What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Alrighty, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. My name is Dan Johnson. I'm your host, and I want to send a shout out to all of the faithful listeners out there. I do apologize for having to do some From the Vault type episodes recently. I've had a lot of people kind of cancel on me last minute, along with my schedule just being completely out of whack. But we have a brand new one today. We're going to be talking with Jody Holdenbrooks. Is that correct? Jody Holdenbrooks from Whitetail Institute.
Jody Holdenbrooks. Yes, sir.
Holdenbrooks. Yes, sir. How are we doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing great. How about you?
Hey, dude, check this out. So I was in my backyard just kind of putzing around the other morning, and I saw a velvet buck.
Okay.
Come into this. It's in the middle of a cornfield. It's probably about knee high right now. And he beds down in this buffer strip right in the middle of it. And I'll be honest, it kind of got me a little fired up for this upcoming season.
No doubt. No doubt. I've been finishing up planting right now. I've got probably 6 or 7 acres of summer food out right now. And this rain has been extremely hard to get stuff done. I'm sure you're probably dealing with some of the same stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyway, finally got it all in. And man, I'm seeing turkeys, deer, they're just wearing it out already. Right. I'm afraid they're going to wipe me out before it gets mature. So you know how that goes.
Yes, sir. Hey, where are you based out of?
I live, actually, I live in Northwest Alabama. I do not work out of an office. I am actually the wildlife biologist slash consultant for Whitetail Institute. But I am in a little town called Haleyville, Alabama, Northwest Alabama. And as you know, Whitetail's based out of Alabama. So.
Gotcha. All right. How close are you to like Huntsville or Decatur or from those two towns?
Oh, I'm about maybe an hour and 15 minutes at most. Okay. Decatur, I'm 45 minutes. Huntsville, about an hour and 15, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I used to live down in those parts. Okay. Just in a small town just south of Decatur. God, I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of it right now. It's basically,
okay, let me see what
it's right on the highway that runs into Decatur, and you drive straight. It's north of Moulton. But I went to the Moulton Chicken and Egg Festival. Have you ever been to the Moulton Chicken and Egg Festival?
Yes.
I'll be honest. It was like 20 some years ago, and I wasn't really too excited about it.
Like, no.
Chickens and eggs. Cool.
That's right. Every once in a while, I think they have a decent singer, you know, a guy, somebody comes out and plays music. But yeah, you know, that's hit or miss every year, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'll tell you what, man, I kind of enjoyed living in Alabama. The only thing is I'm in Iowa. All right. So we have our quality of whitetail is just a little bit different than what you guys got down there.
I can remember. Definitely.
I hadn't seen a deer in like it was like 3 months, and I worked third shift. So I wasn't feeling good one night. So I left, and I left at like 3 or 4 in the morning, and I thought it was a black lab or a lab in the road, but it was a whitetail deer. And I'm like, that thing is not big at all. And so, I'm glad I moved back up to Iowa, but there were some benefits of like that awesome barbecue. We had a barbecue down there, man. So, it was fun.
You hit the nail on the head on that. I go out to Iowa quite a bit doing consulting work, and I was on one. I'll tell you this real quick because you'll appreciate this. I was on a property, probably had saw maybe 20 acres at this point in the site visit, and the guy said, "So what do you think so far?" And I said, 20 acres of yours is better than anything I've got. he just loaded, you know, and I mean, just a fine piece of property. So it's mm-hmm. amazing. And as you know, it all starts with how wonderful the soil is. So,
100%. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, right? Before I got to give a shout out to another product here at Pradco, and that would be Code Blue Scents. It's that time of year for me personally to get my mock scrapes set out.
Right.
And there's a whole bunch of different products, like real synthetic deer urine, scent elimination products. Are you a mock scrape guy? Do you use mock scrapes at all?
Oh yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. I actually use the Code Blue stuff a lot.
Oh yeah. That Rope-A-Dope, man, I'll tell you
what. It's awesome.
This time of year, I think the most pictures that I've gotten using a mock scrape in front of a trail camera would be right around the time where they strip their velvet.
Gotcha.
And for some reason, they just want to come investigate. Not so much in pure velvet, and not so much when you get into the breeding season where there's a lot of travel, but when that velvet comes off and they're looking to start making sign and set their boundaries for who's going to control what territories, they come right in. And I'm talking from does to the fawns, mature bucks, every deer comes to investigate. And so, dude, I love getting inventory from like the Rope-A-Dope. So go check that out at Code Blue.
Oh yeah. I think, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I was just going to say, go check it out at codebluescents.com. And I do have a discount for you. NFC20 for 20% off. There's that.
No, I think what you're saying is exactly right, though. It's there's a hormone change starting to take place, and daylight's changing, and that just gets them on their feet more.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so we got to talk. Let's talk about Code Blue, or excuse me, not Code. I'm sorry, Whitetail Institute. All right,
yes, sir.
since 88?
Since 1988.
Tell me little bit about the company history, what Whitetail Institute was all about, what it's founded on, what its message is, all that stuff.
Well, I'm sure a lot of our listeners, when they hear this name, if they're not familiar with it already, or is going to be familiar with the name Ray Scott. I'm sure, are you familiar with Mr. Ray Scott?
I've heard of
He's kind of a revolutionary in a lot of aspects. You know, he started the Bassmasters. Mm-hmm. And then obviously in 1988, he started Whitetail Institute, you know, with very few products, really the main product still being our token product, which is the Imperial Whitetail Clover. Yeah. The things that I would really, I would like to focus on is when Mr. Scott started this company, he really was focused on product consultants and being able to answer people's questions. And that stayed from the days they opened the door till now. I mean, we're a company that we got product consultants that answer the phone. You know, they've been there, they've done that, they know what they're talking about, and they can answer about any question that you have. So I think that's something that really makes us stick out in the world of wildlife seed, you know, whether you're planting it for deer, turkey, whatever, we got guys that can answer your questions. And that's really key. And the research aspect of it, I don't know how far you want me to jump into this, but, you know, we started out with a real strong research process. And then we also got field testers all around the country that actually use our products before they're on the shelves. And mm-hmm. we'll research these things for 4 or 5 years or ever how long it takes for us to get it right. And anyway, just a lot of research and trying to do things the right way and then answering questions is really what we've been built on.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack right there. And the first thing that just comes to my head is a guy walks into a store, whether that's a feed store, whether that is a co-op, whether it's your local Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop, wherever seed and mineral and all this stuff can be purchased. How does a guy sort that out? Like I walk in and the first thing I need to look at is, gee, many Christmas, there's so much to choose from. How do I know what is the best for me?
Right. And I don't know how to say this, but that's a really loaded question because there's so many angles I could go with that. But the one thing that I would really, you know, take to heart as far as when you go into a seed store, whether it be a co-op, a feed and seed, a mom and pop feed and seed, if they're carrying a lot of different seed products, I mean, there's a difference in seed products. I mean, for the most part, when you're dealing with wheats and oats and grains and things like that, you know, you're just going to be planting a raw seed, so to speak, for the most part. And with that being said, you know, we do have proprietary triticales. We have proprietary seeds that are seeds that we've, like I said earlier, we've researched. We've had folks all over the country researching with us. We're doing our own trials. We've got university trials that we'll have done on different products. And university trials often lead us to products. So with that being said, we've got a lot of scientific based information behind a lot of our seed blends, or actually all of our seed blends. I won't lie, some of them doesn't have near the scientific research as others, but our key components and our main products are all scientifically based. And even a lot of them came from like I said earlier, university trials that just maybe didn't go the way the university wanted it to, but they, you know, we got wind of it and now they're products we're using because they work so well, you know, out there in different trials that universities had taken place.
Gotcha. All right. So there's a lot there, and let's just start with science.
Okay. Right?
And so when I come from a farming family, okay. And when you come from a farming family, my grandpa got hit up every year by a variety of different, Pioneer, Asgrow, all these different seed companies saying, "Hey, our seed's the best. Our seed's the best."
Right.
And so from a scientific process, how do you guys test your product, and how do you change it or alter it in order to make it the best product to hit the shelves?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, the first thing I would say, and I'm going to get on to something else. The going back to what I said, we've got, universities running trials, for us. Not only are they doing it and we're getting a hold of some of the stuff, but we got different universities that run trials for us. We've got what we call scientific research stations, all over the country that are just guys that's been with us almost from the get go that have proved, their knowledge of what they're doing, their knowledge of farming, and they just do things the right way. And we can count on them to tell us if it sucks, If it mm-hmm. sucks for them, they're going to tell us. And that, I guess what I could say, it's real world testing. A lot of our testing is real world testing. Like every spring, every fall, I'm sending guys out, two or three different mixes, whether it be spring or fall, to test for us that may be 4 or 5 years out. We get started. It may take us 3 or 4 or 5 years to get to that final product. And one example I can give you is we've been testing some hybrid sorghums for several years, and I just got through planting them all on my place last week. I think this is going to be the last year, and I think we're going to have the final touches on it and hopefully have this product out, next year, early next year. So there's a pretty extensive process. Also one thing that I added once I came on board was, I'm consulting. I've already had, I've consulted 20 folks already this year. And the one thing that I talked to, William Cousins, my boss, about was, let's get these consulting clients involved. These guys are paying me money to learn how to do this right. So they're going to test our products right. So that's just a little added bonus that we could get, a little info out of, and plus, make a guy happy to give him some seed to test for me and give him the reins to tell me legitimately how it works for him. So, I think the real world aspect of this works tremendously.
Right. Okay. As you guys go through, how does the testing work? I mean, is it just like, hey, let's put these seeds in the ground and let's see how many deer come visit this seed in its maturity and what it's made for? How do they test for poor conditions, like maybe too much rain or not enough rain or things like that? And then how, because ultimately, I'm guessing your customers don't give a shit about anything except whether or not
it grows.
It grows and deer eat it, right?
That's
so
right.
No. I'm saying the law of averages there. There might be some guys who are like, "Ooh, I like the scientific background about all this."
No, I get it.
Yeah. So talk to us about how you determine what the final product is.
Okay. One thing I will take a step back and say is when I talk with these guys, we usually try to give them a list of some requirements that we really need to understand what's going on. So obviously, like you just said, rain, I would love to have, and we get it for the most part. I try to keep up with, have them all keep up with rainfall. Everything that they could keep up with that has to do with the weather is obviously a huge deal.
Right.
We always try to, once we get these seeds out there, like I said, the list of instructions, I'm always going to tell these guys to put grazing cages up on all these food plots, as far as just leaving areas of these food plots to where the deer can't get to them. Mm-hmm. So we can really determine, what's going on here, or is this just let me take a step back. If you don't put a grazing cage up, you could have the best field in the world and just not think it's doing anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and then in the world of what you're talking about, you almost got to also look at, okay, if they're eating it too good, is there another, you know, is there another move we make to allow a guy, you know, to try to help the guy with all small food plots to where he could actually plant this product and they don't just destroy it in the first 2 or 3 days?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So there's a lot of moving parts to this that, you know, I don't think, like you said, you know, the customer wants that final product and wants to know that it's going to do what it's supposed to do. I can give you a quick example. We got a product out. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It just came out this year called SummerSlam. Have you seen that one yet?
Not yet.
Okay. So it just come out this year. It's a spring summer planting, and I planted this on my personal property for the last 4 years. You know, and the other part of that is that, and I'm talking about this to kind of get to that is, you know, you may have to adjust seeding rates as well. Mm-hmm. And that's really key too, is you gotta count on your satellite field tester or one of my consulting clients that's really into this. They've got to know, you know, we got to get acreage right. We've got to do everything right. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I'm counting on. So if you do everything right and you do this for 3 or 4 years, we usually can nail this down pretty doggone good. We may make some changes in the amount of seed per acre for each different product in a blend, but no, it's a pretty in-depth process, and there's a lot of, you know, you're counting on having good guys out there to help you.
Yeah. Okay. Is all of the research about the seed and testing results and things like that available to the consumer?
If you go to our website, there's on whitetailinstitute.com, we've got a magazine called the Whitetail News.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, but you can go to our website and you can find a lot of these. Like when a new product comes out, there's going to be a lot of information in the Whitetail News on, you know, basically what we did to get to this product and, you know, how it turned out, blah, blah, blah. But with the Whitetail News, you can find a lot of that information.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. The next question I have is, in order for a plant to grow, it needs dirt, it needs water, and it needs sunshine. Okay.
Right.
The sunshine you can't control, right?
That's right.
I mean, maybe you plant in more shaded area. I don't know. Maybe that's how you do it, but you know, you can't necessarily control the weather as well. So a lot of it comes down to the soil and maybe even enhancing the soil with fertilizer. Right. Let's talk about the very first step. I have this, and I'm going to use an example that I have. I have a little pinch point, and in this little pinch point is one tree that's right in the middle of it. And then surrounding it is all this grass. It's not CRP. It's just like old cattle pasture grass. And I want to put a food plot in there. Where do I start? How do I know like what to do? Like, let's walk through this.
Okay. No, that's the most important part of it all, what we're about to talk about. And that's just, let's don't go in there. I can save somebody a lot of time and a lot of heartache and a lot of burnt money mm-hmm. by just doing a soil test. I mean, soil test is going to be the number one thing that you need to do. I guess that would say not necessarily number one, but number one to start amending your soil to grow what you want to grow. Mm-hmm. Obviously the number one thing would be picking the exact right spot to put your plot. But, though that being said, a soil test is going to be number one. That's going to tell you how much lime you need to put down, how much fertilizer you need to put down. And, you know, with all that being said, if you can't do both, you better do lime and get your lime in the ground, because without your pH where it needs to be, you're basically throwing money away putting fertilizer out.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I hate to say that, but it's just the truth. I mean, there's a little, I guess you would call it like a pyramid example that shows you, you know, exactly how much percentage of fertilizer per, you know, your pH is a 6, or if it's a 6.2 or even lower, like a 5 something, you know, you're not getting much activity out of your fertilizer. It's just bound in the soil. It's just not able to, the plants aren't able to take that up. So you're basically, you know, I'm not going to say you're doing nothing because you are, but to when you're spending this kind of money to go in there and you know, push out a food plot or do whatever you got to do to put in a food plot, I would highly recommend soil testing, number one, and just go ahead and fertilizer's expensive, but I try to tell everybody, you know, if when you go in there the first time with a plot, if you can get that plot to what I would say a middle of the line neutral, and I'm not just talking with a pH, but if you can go ahead and get all your fertilizer out there, get it where it needs to be, then you've got something to work from.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, it does.
So
first step, soil test.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, got to keep the lights on. When the 3-alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Exactly, no doubt.
All right. And then as far as, let's say, prepping yes, the sir. Ground. And we can use this scenario here. It's grass, but I need to turn this grass, this, I'm going to say it's about the size of the infield of a baseball field. And I'm not a pro field, but maybe like a kid's field. Maybe 100 feet by 100 feet.
Right. There's several ways you could go about doing that, and time has got a lot to do with that. The one thing I would say before any of this, and we may get to this and stop me if we are, is just you need to research what you're doing. Yeah. Know what you're trying to plant and whether it'll work on this property would probably be number two after soil test, if you want to be real honest. But we can circle back around all that. But anyway, no, you could go in there. It's all according to what kind of equipment you got. But I mean, you know, if you're going to get serious about it, you just about want at least a 4-wheeler sprayer. So you could, you know, spray some herbicide and then, you know, I deal with a lot of people that just won't use herbicide and there's nothing wrong with that, but it makes it a little harder with the weed control. But, you know, if I was going to start out, I would probably go ahead, you know, if we're talking conventional planting, not using any kind of a drill or anything, and I could run by both those if you need me to, but what I would probably do is just go ahead and, you know, disc the field up. Try to get it. You could start out by spraying it with Roundup. That would be an easy way to allow you to, it's going to make disking easier. Give it a couple weeks to die off real good, then go in there and disc it up. And then what I would do that route is I would round up, disc, and then let it sit for 2 or 3 weeks like it's ready to plant. And then you could always go back over it and spray it again right before you put your seed down.
Okay. I have 3 kids. I have, they're all in activities, so I'm broke all the time. Right? Yeah. All right. So is there a way to get the job done for the least possible dollar amount, but still have a decent outcome?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, we got products, that are for that pretty much. And then we also have a product called Impact, which is kind of it's just a fast lime. It's a liquid lime. It's going to basically, if you went in the fall at some of your hunting spots, you could spray this Impact on this small, like this small field, you're talking about, you can spray that on there and it's going to pretty much get you through hunting season with all your, plants getting kind of what they need out of the soil. Cause it's a fast acting lime. Now is it going to go away quick? Yes, sir. It will, but it will, it's kind of I'll just call it a Band-Aid. I use it all the time when I've got a really low pH and I've put my ag lime down. Mm-hmm. I'll go back right before season, like right when I'm planting, and I'll go ahead and spray the Impact in there. And then that'll usually get me through that season to give the ag lime time to really start doing its job.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Cool. See, I don't have a tractor. I don't have a 4-wheeler. I have my hands, and one of my hands only has 4 fingers on it. So,
so I understand.
So, and I got my feet, right? And so
there you go.
I'm trying to, well, and I have one of my main farms, there's no, it's in ag, it's in livestock, so there's no place for a food plot anyway. Gotcha. However, I do have a small farm that I have access to now where the guy is pretty open for some habitat management. I've done some food plot or some hinge cutting and some tree removal to try to get, you know, more sunlight to the timber floor and make it thicker in there. And I'm sure if I talk to him about how this will benefit the wildlife on this property, I will also get permission there as well. But I have to do the work the hard way.
Right. You know what I mean? I understand.
So, okay. So first timer, let's go first timer, small farm to professional slash like maybe a guy who's doing this. I know guys who are managing 2,500 acres and they're putting in hundreds of acres of food plots.
Okay? Definitely.
And so little old me, never really food plotted before. This is my first year. I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to put a food plot in. Like, how do I know what's the, like, we've talked about how to prep and get the soil test and maybe get the soil ready. How do I know what seed to put in?
Well, that is a great question. And the example I could use for that is I've been pretty much all over the country doing consulting work for Whitetail. Let's use Florida, for example, and lower Alabama, you know, South Alabama, South Mississippi, South Georgia. Once you start running into your soil profile turns into a lot of sand, obviously you're not going to get a lot. You're not going to get clover to grow down there. I'm not going to say it won't come up. When I say clover, I mean like an imperial whitetail clover. Not going to say it won't grow, but it's just going to have a lot, you know, its lifespan's not going to be what it's going to be in Illinois or Iowa or Kansas, right, or even North Alabama. I mean, but mainly I just use that example because the soil profile is just complete, you know, it's sand for no telling. You know, no telling how deep, and it don't matter how much lime you put in or how much fertilizer, it's just disappearing really quick. And then obviously the number one thing, moisture, is disappearing really quick too. So there's definitely a reason to do your research and pick the right seed. So you can go to our website, and it's actually got a product selector that kind of helps you do that. But the easy way to look at it is a lot of our products are going to do well in a well-drained soil, and some of our products are going to do better in a clay-based or just a soil that holds some moisture. And then obviously there's some places and some types of soils that I wouldn't even try perennials, and I would just go with annuals. Okay. And a lot of that's going to be like your sandier soils and things that just really going to have a hard time keeping that perennial going throughout the year.
And so long story short is soil tests will tell you what you can and cannot plant.
That kind of, and also being able to recognize, your soil. Is it in a bottom? Does it hold moisture? You know, gotcha. And that would be clover, fusion, pretty much everything we've got except for, you know, alpha rack, and some things like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Outside of that, is there any seed for someone who's maybe not a professional, has no experience? Is there any seed that you would stay away from your first time planting a food plot because it takes a different skill set to get it into the ground? You need a different. Yeah. Walk us through what maybe you should stay away from as a first timer.
Yeah. Definitely as a first time food plotter, and especially if you've gone in there and you've done it. Well, number one, if you're not going to soil test, I would not plant. I mean, and this is just coming from, you know, I want this to be a practical thought and not like this is just a law, but, I would say, you know, Alpha Rack Plus, that's probably one of the harder mixes we have.
And what is that? What's in there?
That is alfalfa. It's grazing alfalfa, a forage alfalfa. It's going to have Ladino clovers in it, our own proprietary clovers, and then it's going to have our own proprietary chicory in there as well. And, you know, the clovers and chicory are usually what ends up taking over in a situation. Even some of the situations I've got where they're good, the pHs are good, but the ground's just not hardly exactly right. And what I mean by that, it holds a little too much moisture for the alfalfa to thrive. Alfalfa really needs, like the Alpharec Plus needs to get the bonus of that alfalfa. And I'm sure you know how much deer love alfalfa.
Mm-hmm.
It almost takes the perfect ground. So that would be the number one thing I would say to stay. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that in a don't make a mistake way.
Right.
And that would be the number one. And then, you know, if your pH ain't right and you haven't soil tested or you've soil tested and you've got a really low pH, don't just go in there and throw the clover down and hope that it's going to grow. Let's put something down like Pure Attraction. Let's put something down like No Plow, Secret Spot. We've got a product now called Full Strut, which is it's got a lot of annual clovers in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Crimson, Berseem, and then it does have a Ladino clover in it. And then it's also got Triticale. And it kind of gives you a good mix. And anything that's a perennial, it just takes way more out of the soil. And you got to be getting all the nutrients that that soil can supply for that plant to thrive.
Right.
Whereas these annuals, they're just trying to make a seed head. So you know, if they can get going, they're usually going to go and they're going to do pretty good. Not going to get the deer activity that you might see with a really good pH, because with a really good pH, you're just getting all the nutrients out of the soil, all the minerals out of the soil. It's just kind of like the soil gives to the plant and the plant gives to the deer.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Makes a lot of sense. All right. So first year I plant a food plot and I want to see immediate results, right? Maybe,
yes, sir.
Tell me this, if this is true or false.
Okay.
If you introduce a plant into that a deer can eat, but doesn't have, is not readily available to them in nature or maybe in a farming type scenario, it takes them longer to get used to that than if, like, let's say clover, a deer will probably eat clover year one, but I heard that year one, a deer might not eat brassicas.
No question. I've seen it many times. Yes, sir. You're complete. That is true.
Okay.
And I can tell you a couple of my own examples of that. I've got a couple of different places I hunt, obviously up here in Northwest Alabama. And, the places that I have that like, kind of like probably what you're getting at is, you know, some of it is around row crops, not a lot, but some row crops, and there's a lot of food around. So I'll say this, the first few years I planted brassica on this one particular private property, you know, it was kind of, it just sat there and sat there and sat there and, you know, not a lot of activity, not going to say there wasn't any activity, but, there's no question. If they have no clue what it is, they have no clue what it is.
Right.
So it takes some time. And I don't know if one's eating it and telling everybody else about it later. I have no clue how that's working, but there's no question that that's how it is. Then I can tell you another example. I've got a lease where it's all pine trees and there's just not a lot of food out there because there's no management that I can really do other than put in food plots.
Right.
And there I can put in brassica and they're eating it in October.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? So yeah. It's just a matter of what's available. And I think a little bit of that has to do with the amount of food available too.
Yeah. So what we found out through my conversations with other wildlife biologists and conservation, like the DNR and the
yes,
wildlife
sir.
Biologists in my given area is that, right. You know, there's a ton of food for whitetails,
right?
You know, pretty much all summer.
Right. Right.
And then once the crops come out and once all the vegetation dies, then they start looking for different sources of food. Two questions here. Number one, how do you know, like, how do you introduce a food plot during the hunting season or for hunting reasons? Like, I want you to come to this
right.
when they have beans and corn
gotcha.
And they have all this other browse inside the timber that they can eat.
My personal opinion with that is if you really want to get down to how you would need to introduce that And I think it's the longevity of it. We'll take a step back and let's pretend like we've got all of our pHs where they need to be. The soil's amended. Everything's looking good. And you're able to start planting Infusion, Imperial Whitetail Clover, some of these perennials. That's a real easy win on that, in my opinion, even in farmland, because once those deer, you know, they know that food's there once they get introduced to it.
Right.
So, and then deer know what they're eating too. You know, they're picky eaters. They're not just, you know, they're not like a cow, as you know, they're not just putting their head down and eating. They're selectively eating. So I think once they kind of get an idea that, hey, there's a, and I know this, and this is just me, the way I would say it, you know, hey, we got a clover field over here. This corn's about gone, or, you know, they just picked all the beans or whatever it is. They somewhat always know that food plot's there.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's one way to look at it. And then the other way to look at it is just simply, you know, the different blends that we have, you know, like we got a blend called Pure Attraction and it's got oats and brassicas in it. And with that being said, I mean, those oats are so attractive. And those, and once, like, you know, not talking about they don't know what a brassica is. Let's pretend they do. Mm-hmm. You know, once you put that out there, I have no doubt they're going to hit it.
Right.
You know, even with all that other food, at some point, once they get done with it, they're still going to come back and forth to it.
Right.
And the one thing I like to do when I am introducing them is, you know, if you can set up a food plot in one of those transition areas from the, you know, from the crops, you know, to a bedding area, that works pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's kind of like the entry level dude. Now let's talk about the property manager dude who has acreage that he has done the soil testing. He's done all the stuff. What's a big hitter from you guys for the expert?
Alpharec Plus, Fusion is chicory and clover. Then of course, Imperial Whitetail Clovers are one, you know, our staple product. We've got several other, perennials. We got one called Extreme that can actually handle, and I know we're not talking about this right now, but it can handle a little lower pH, but obviously with a really good pH, it's going to do even better. It's going to thrive big time. So yeah, we've got all the different products out there. And I think really what it is, it's using a perennial base for all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring in your fall kill type plots with your oats, your Pure Attraction, your winter greens, tall time tubers, whatever it is that we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you kind of start those real, you know, I guess what you, like you're saying, a hardcore property manager, they're ready to start kind of playing with these products a little bit and deciding, okay, this one works better than this one. We're going with this one. And, you know, you're able to finagle around and really, really get a good understanding of what your deer like.
Yeah. All right. Who is your demographic? Do you have a specific demographic that your seed is branded to, designed for?
Obviously, hunter, you know, the hardcore hunters.
Right.
But that's honestly kind of a hard question, just simply because we do have the simple products that work really well, like your note plows, your secret spots. Those are considered throw and grows. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a throw and grow is going to do a lot better if you don't just throw it on top of the ground and pray.
Yep.
You know, a little prep work will go a long way, and then a lot of prep work will take you to a super food plot,
yeah,
even with a throw and grow. So yeah, I mean, I think we cover a big demographic, honestly, because, you know, I'll put it this way. When I go out consulting, I may be staying in a trailer or a little cabin. And then sometimes I'm staying in a 6,000 square foot lodge on somebody's personal hunting property. So,
yeah.
So it's a pretty big demographic, honestly.
And so basically your seed is for people who want a quality product.
That's exactly right. And the one thing that I could tell you, and you may be going to get to this, and I didn't really get to it talking about when we were talking about the scientific side of thing, is is, and you can tell me to stop, is, you know, the quality of our seed. Why is our seed better? And I could talk a little bit about that if you want me to.
Do it.
The one thing that I would say is, there's a lot of controversy. You've probably seen it on the internet on seed coating. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar much with that? It's
similar. Is it similar to the whole like Monsanto deal where they had pollen from a Monsanto field and now it gets into a new bean field and now the seeds from that are Roundup ready? Similar to that?
Not really. It's pretty simple, honestly. It don't get that in depth scientifically. Okay. But what it is our seed coatings. There's tons of university studies where there's a big controversy. I see it all the time on the internet where they're like, well, why till they don't have as much seed as blah, blah, blah product does because their seed is coated.
Well, coated with
a polymer clay. Oh, okay. Coating.
I was thinking genetics. I'm sorry.
No. And I may not explain that good, but it's pretty simple. I mean, we've got a product in our coating called Rain Bond, and it almost works like a diaper for no better way to explain it. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to get a decent rain and then all of a sudden you get nothing, that Rain Bond's going to cause that seedling. It's going to hold that moisture to that seedling. And until it's ready and it knows it's ready, it's not going to crack open that clay coating pretty much. That's the simple way to say it.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing that's a bonus about having a clay coating or a seed coat is you can include all your rhizobium, which is basically your inoculants for your legumes, like your clovers, alfalfas, all that. Legumes is what I should say. You've got your rhizobium built into the seed product. You're not having to go take a bare seed, sprinkle this dust all over it, and then mix it up, and just it's messy. We've already done that for you. And then obviously, one thing that we got that's really cool is we got a fungicide in all of our alfalfa products. So alfalfa is, you know, it can have problems with fungus and we've got that fungicide included in there. And the other cool thing is we've kind of got our seed color coded. So if you're spreading a mix, you can kind of tell by looking at the ground how well you did.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a science behind even our seed coating. And like I was saying, there's a lot of studies out there that show that you can put more raw seed down. And that's one of the complaints we'll hear when somebody's trying to, I guess I can't say bash us, mm-hmm. and us not having as much seed number in a bag. Well, when you look at the studies, the seed number has nothing to do with the survivability. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, the percentages of survivability with a seed coating always wins over raw seed, no matter how much seed's put down.
Gotcha. Okay. So that means you're able to put more of the accurate amount of seed in a bag for whatever acreage a person is looking for. Okay.
That's right.
That makes sense to me.
Yes, sir.
I mean, why buy more seed than you need?
That's right.
All right. So, or why put more in a bag than you need? So,
whatever. And it not have, you know, and that's a lot of people will try to say that the coating is taken away from the amount of seed, and it is.
Yeah.
But the survivability proves it all wrong.
Yeah. Okay. So it's science based.
Exactly.
I can get on board with.
Yes, sir.
Cool. So I didn't want this conversation to be really focused on the specific products for this. I think what I want to accomplish here is just to be like, okay, Whitetail Institute's a great company. They've been around for a long time. There's a lot of science and research that has been put into their products and their product line. Sounds like it's all based off of science. And the next step for the listener here is to get a soil test on whatever ground that they feel they want a food plot in, and then take that, get the results of that, and then use those results to pick whatever seed you want, and you can do that. You can do that on the Whitetail Institute website, is whitetailinstitute.com.
That's right.
Right.
That is exactly right.
Right. As we finish up here, is there anything else that we need to know about Whitetail Institute? I know what I wanted to ask you real quick, and that was customer service.
Oh yeah.
Okay. You mentioned it at the beginning. Customer service is one of those things that's important to me. For example, like I just feel Vortex Optics has the best customer service in the hunting space, period. Right.
Yes, sir.
And so someone is in the field, it's a Saturday or a Sunday, or, you know, it's an evening after 5 o'clock. How hard is it to get a hold of someone with a question, for you guys, about the food plots that they're planning?
You talking about outside of normal business hours?
Yeah, maybe it's outside of normal business hours. Maybe it's inside of normal business hours.
Yeah, like, I mean, no. All you got to do is call 1-800-688-3030. And we got three guys. And I kind of want to at least say their first names, Tyler, Chase, and John. Yep. They do a phenomenal job. They've all been there for a long time. They can answer, you know, just about any question that you call them with. And honestly, one thing I like to say is, you know, there's a lot of consultants out there now. Mm-hmm. And I honestly truly believe, because I have worked on the end and still have to work on the end of answering the phones a lot. Just because when we get busy, we're busy. I mean, it's nuts. You wouldn't believe it. And that part of it is so important. I mean, and these guys are nice. You know, we try to, you know, if you need to call me back, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm going to give you my number and have you call me back. Just customer service is what this was based off of. And you know, product consultant is what really took us over the edge really quick, yeah. You know, and really took us above a lot of folks. We're definitely not a fly by night. Like we said, we've been here since 88. So it's, there's a lot of time and effort and a lot of products. I mean, I worked for Whitetail, straight out of college in 2004 through 2007. And I probably would say there's 10 more products since, you know what I mean? There's a lot more. When I came back, there was a lot more products. And the only reason why I left to begin with was I had my dad was real sick. So I had to come home and run his business. So anyway, no, our product consulting is top notch. I'll tell you this, with what you just said, that kind of segues me into something that I probably do need to mention. And that's our Plot Perfection app. Have you heard of that one?
Have not. No.
Okay. So what Plot Perfection is basically, you can get online and it's called an app, but the easiest way to use it is just get on, you know, Safari, Google or whatever, type Plot Perfection in. And what it is, it's a database. It creates a database for all your soil testing. So, you know, if you've got soil testing from 23, 24, and you're going to start this year, you can kind of compare, okay, I'm trending the right way or I'm trending the wrong way.
Gotcha.
And it really helps you. It's got a seed selection thing on there. So basically, you can be at home, like you were talking about, after hours, and let's just say, oh man, you've watched a TV show or whatever that's got you fired up, wanting to go to your food plots and let's do this right. You don't have to wait on anything. You could, we've got a way to buy a soil test online that's just simply a soil test you can buy that's all offline, you know, online. You don't have to contact anybody. You can, you'll use a Ziploc bag and print off an Adobe sheet, a paper to go with it, put it in the mail, and you'll get a soil test. You know, you'll get your soil test results. The Plot Perfection is a little different. You get on there. And if you pay for the app, you've got a map, you set up your map, and then you can go in there after your actual soil test. You pick so if you got food plot 1, 2, and 3, you could plant, you know, you can go in there and soil test for no plow in 1, clover for 1, alpha rack for 1. And then once they come back and maybe you didn't get the pH that you wanted, you can always go back and change those within that app, and it's going to change your results with the lime and fertilizer accordingly.
Understood. Understood. Okay.
So it's a cool app. It's a cool app. And it's one that, you know, if you're sitting there on the weekend and you think, crap, man, I didn't get my soil test. Well, you don't have to have it. You can do it all on your own at home.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it, long story short, it's a journal of your soil.
Exactly. Perfect. Exactly.
Perfect. All right, my friend. Well, you know, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to school us on Whitetail Institute, the company itself, the seed, the steps, the how-tos of all of this. So, Jody, man, thank you very much, and good luck this upcoming season, man.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate you having me on here. And what do you care if I mention one more thing?
Yeah, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, and if anybody out there, I'm kind of head over what's called Next Level Consulting.
Okay.
And I go all over the country. I've been all over the place since February. And we've got a real good consultant.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Program, Dan, it's, if you're a larger, I just want to say this and plug this because yeah. I don't know that everybody's seeing this, but, the larger landowner that has a lot of food plots, and let's say you've purchased a land, you're a beginner, and you got a lot of food plots, you can pay basically. It's not like you're buying a service. It's almost like you're joining a club. More gotcha. Than anything. And this is something when we come out, we're going to soil test all your fields. We're going to give you a product that we know is going to work. I've got two weed scientists and agronomists, both PhDs, that look over all the soil tests I get. And the coolest part about this is if you're a large landowner or a small landowner, it really don't matter. Our seed prices are out of this world. Once you do Next Level Consulting, they are unreal. And for a large landowner, it'll pay for itself within 2 years.
Gotcha.
Easily. Gotcha. Easily. So I just wanted to plug that and let everybody know if they want to get a hold of me, my number's, of course, my name's Jody Holbrooks. My number's 205-269-5228. Do not hesitate to call me if you got any questions.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, my friend. Thank you very much. And we will talk to you when we talk to you.
All right, brother. Hey, I appreciate it, Dan.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.